Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
Alrighty, Hickster, what do you got for me?
The Bills publicly, Zach, will downplay the whole Stephon Diggs drama going back to minicamp at this point, basically 6 weeks ago. But
Whoa. Are you taking a shot at a close personal friend of mine in Deion Dawkins, who said there's nothing to see here on another national radio program about last week? Are you taking a shot at my guy, Deion?
Not at all, because all right. Josh Allen said the same message. Sean McDermott himself, the very next day after causing the drama, basically echoed that same message. Everyone is telling you it's all good, not just one guy.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Nothing to see here, but we will truly find that out next week when training camp for the Bills does kick off. So, overreaction or proper reaction? The Bills team chemistry heading into training camp is a concern.
That's actually a proper reaction, and it's between three people: Sean McDermott, Josh Allen, and Stephon Diggs. The rest of the team, I have an issue with. The rest of the team, I think they're all guys that get along with one another. But the dynamic between those three, you don't just have a player leave, whether he's sent home or not, and the coach says he's really concerned, the next day there's nothing to see here, and then it's the media's fault, and there's not something there. I don't know if it's a big deal. I don't know if it's a little deal. I don't know if it's a medium-sized deal. But there is some sort of deal there, and I think it's a proper reaction.
Speaking of big deal, that's what the Jets are this year. People are all enthused about what they will do. They are on Hard Knocks, even though everyone on the Jets hates it and resents it and talks about, not shy about saying how much they do hate it. You have Robert Saleh playing golf with members of the New York media, maybe trying to suck up, maybe just being a good guy. Who knows? We'll see.
Oh, you're so naive if you think he's just doing that to be a good guy. It's, hey, if we don't end up doing that well this year, don't call for me to get fired because I played 18 with you.
So not happy with Hard Knocks, playing golf with New York media. Overreaction or proper reaction? The Jets aren't ready for the pressure they're facing this season.
I would say that's an overreaction. I do think it's weird that they've resented so much in terms of doing Hard Knocks. And I think fans make a bigger deal of the pressure than actually players do, but they control what gets out for Hard Knocks. I don't think the Jets won't meet their level of expectations this year because the hype is too big. It's just more so we got to see Aaron Rodgers go be a dominant quarterback in the postseason. Looks like Mekhi Becton may not be on that roster when the season starts. If you read some bold predictions today, you know the defense is really damn good. Garrett Wilson is a phenomenal player. You know, is the run game going to be healthy? And you're in a really tough AFC and a tough AFC East, but I don't think the stage is going to be too big for the JETS, 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 Jets.
The biggest receiver on the free agent market is now off. Just about a week ago, DeAndre Hopkins made his big decision to sign with the Tennessee Titans. He will now be a member of Tennessee. Overreaction or proper reaction? He made a mistake by signing with the Titans.
I think that is an overreaction because in DeAndre Hopkins' mind and a lot of players' mind, and I don't fault players that do this, the objective is to get paid the most amount of money. Tennessee was offering you the most amount of money with the fewest incentives. The only other team that made an offer was the Patriots. The Bills didn't have enough cash. The Chiefs didn't have enough cash to come anywhere close. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. By the way, I'm going to give you a food overreaction or proper reaction.
Let's go.
I know you were enjoying yourself last week on vacation.
That's right.
But on the weekend, I went to a very good Italian joint. And me and two of my friends, we split three dishes. We had a rigatoni alla vodka. We had an gnocchi with sausage in it, which was one of the best pasta dishes I've ever had. I think it was called like gnocchi bianco or something like that. It was amazing. And then we had a chicken parm. So I put a video of all three of the dishes out there. And I actually got some hate mail via social media, but it wasn't about me. It was about you.
Wait, what? About me?
Yeah.
I'm not even involved.
The listener said, that place you went to is so good, but you could never take Hickey there. He wouldn't eat half the menu. Overreaction or proper reaction? The listener's in the right there.
A major overreaction.
No, you eat like a child.
That is exactly my wheelhouse. You see me. 45 days I eat pasta. I love pasta. I love chicken parm. All three of those dishes you just laid out there, I would have eaten without a doubt.
I love pasta.
That is my place. If you're at a sushi restaurant, okay, fine. If you're at a clam bar, yeah, you're 100% right. But when it comes to Italian, that is, I don't say my wheelhouse, because I like a lot of things, but that is really where it's hard to say no to a lot of things on the menu. That is, in terms of percentage of items I would order off the menu, I would probably argue Italian is the highest percentage.
Now, two things off this. Number one has nothing to do with the conversation. The other thing is just, you got to watch your back a little bit around here. Last time you filled in for me, someone that was producing you sent me audio of you because they thought I would enjoy it. And you were talking about the time where Boomer Esiason said that your voice is really high. And then you went into like this rant about it and your voice was so high. I got a good crack and a good laugh out of that. It was funny.
Was that Nick Theodoro? Probably.
I don't think it was Nick. I think it was someone else. Nick sent me something else, but I don't think it was Nick that time.
Everyone's ambushing me. Hopefully everyone listening right now can see. Everyone's out to get me for whatever reason.
Now, what I did not put in this video, this Italian food that I was having, was the calamari. There's a hit. Oh, stop.
Miss me on that.
If you say, oh, that's why you suck. They actually have a hidden menu item here where if you're in the know, you know to order it, but it's not on the menu because it was a limited thing. They have a buffalo-style calamari. Anytime I've gone there, they've made it for me. Last time they said, oh, we don't have the buffalo calamari tonight. So I was very disappointed about that. I had to get the regular calamari and just marinate it in lemon and all that stuff. Oh, it was still delicious, though. But anyway, all right, we can continue here with the football.
Let's go back to the football. All right, the Ravens not only locked up Lamar Jackson this offseason, they also are changing their offense, going from the run RPO quarterback run option to now more of a passing option under Todd Monken, the former Georgia Bulldogs offense coordinator. Overreaction or proper reaction? The offensive scheme changes for Baltimore are a bigger concern than being led on.
I think that's a proper reaction because I just don't know what's actually going to happen here. I don't know how much of a change there actually is going to be. Like, they're going to throw the ball more. But if it's to the level, and Lamar Jackson won't throw for 6,000 yards, but if you're throwing the ball that many times, I just don't think you're paying Lamar for what he does best. And that's not even just making him just a runner, because Lamar could throw the football. Lamar's the better passer than what people give him credit for. But the dual threat version of Lamar is so is what makes him just so tough to defend. And if you just totally increase the intensity here of him throwing the football to this ridiculous level, well, then how much is he going to run in the short window that you have to go compete for a Super Bowl?
Speaking of running, Kyler Murray will not be doing a lot of that early on in the season, as he is still recovering from a torn ACL.
Well, you don't know. If you ask him, he says he wants to be back for week one.
We'll see.
It's like me saying I want to date Beyonce.
He is at least pushing to play, but as we know, does not look promising this year for the Cardinals whatsoever. They look to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And also, importantly here, they also have the Houston Texans first-round pick next year. They go as projected and also pretty bad. You could be looking at the Cardinals possibly having the first two picks in next year's NFL draft.
You want to hear a bold take, by the way?
Sure.
Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, mm-hmm. who joined us last week. I know you weren't here. He was optimistic on the Texans. Like, he thinks the Texans could be a whole lot better than what people think.
So what is it, like 5 wins?
No.
Close to 500?
He was talking north of that as like the second best team in the AFC South. That was his take, not mine, just to be clear. I think the Texans are going to stink.
7-10? Interesting. Okay.
No, I think it was even north of that. I forget exactly what the number was.
He is in. on the D'Amico Ryans era.
Oh, how great would that be if the Texans are the second best team in the AFC South and the Colts stink? Oh, that'd be wonderful. Let's continue.
That's fine. Marvin Harrison Jr., the new battery made for Anthony Richardson. Hello.
Okay. Yeah. You think Anthony Richardson's going to be this great quarterback? I love that. Guy that you didn't want any part of until the day of the draft when you realized that's who you were going to get.
Highest ceiling.
You were such a sucker.
Highest ceiling.
You are the definition of why owners buy teams, because they know they can get people like you to just say, yes, anything you say, Jim. Anything you say, Jim Irsay. Anything you do, I'll be there to support you.
I'm not saying that Anthony Richardson is going to be a great quarterback.
You said that if he reaches his potential, he'll be the best quarterback in the league.
Which I wholeheartedly believe. Come on. Wholeheartedly believe. Now, will he reach that? I mean,
better than Mahomes? You're crazy.
I think that percentage of happening is very small. But if it hits, I think it could hit big.
Are you doing the Colts podcast by the way? Again?
Of course. I'm glad you are tuned in. We just did our training camp preview.
Oh yeah.
Come on. How are you not watching that? 10 questions.
Colts training camp preview. You had to answer 10 questions?
Did you even come up with 10 questions? To look at for the Colts training camp. This is a big one here.
Jeez.
This is a big one. Okay. That's for sure. So glad you're locked in.
I'll make sure to listen to that tonight.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the support.
I'm going to definitely be listening to that tonight.
If you haven't already, subscribe on YouTube too. Don't be shy. So back to Kyler Murray.
Give me more money, please. Do you make more money if I subscribe?
Eventually. If you and like 10,000 other friends subscribe, then yes.
Hey, folks, subscribe. Let's go. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
Horseshoe Podcast. Cough.
Just become friends with Stu Finer. And Stu Finer will get on everyone's feed and go, like and subscribe, like and subscribe. Ready to roll. I love Stu Finer. Great human being. But okay, ask the question here.
So back to Kyler Murray. All that said about him and the bad Cardinals year, maybe the bad Texans year as well. Could have first two picks in the draft. Overreaction or proper reaction? This will be Kyler Murray's final year with the Cardinals.
That is a proper reaction. It'll be difficult to move off the salary, but they're going to be going out there and taking a quarterback, probably Caleb Williams, because they'll have the first overall pick. And then you got to find a way to just eat the money and get rid of Kyler Murray and get what you get back for him.
There's been a lot of questions around your guy, Bill Belichick, and his future with the Patriots. There are people close to the source, a.k.a. Bill B. himself.
Stop.
I think he's on the hot seat.
Yeah, by the way, that was such a bullcrap report from Ben Volen.
You think Tom Curran?
Let me just say this. No, I think it was Ben Volen who had the...
I was going to say Tom Curran said he's on the hot seat since 2019.
Yeah. Fine. I like Tom Curran. Ben Volen, not so much. But Ben Volen, he's talking to friends of Belichick. Like, do you think people that are actually close to Belichick are running to Ben Volen? Not only that, you think Belichick is telling people that are his close friends talking about football? That just smells like a bunch of BS right there.
I'm going to ask this
question.
In terms
of reporting.
This is a serious question. It's not like a joke. It's going to be a serious question.
I know what you're going to ask. This would be good.
Does Bill Belichick actually have friends?
Yes, he has friends.
I don't know.
He definitely has friends.
Linda Holiday, his wife. Nike, his dog. I don't think he's talking to anyone else outside of them. Maybe probably Nick Saban. So unless you talk to Ben Volen, talk to Nick Saban.
Do you have friends?
Yes.
You sure?
I'm also not obsessed with football 24/7 and the greatest coach in NFL history.
Wait.
And part of the reason that makes you so great is your obsession with the sport, where you have no life outside of literally football.
You're not obsessed with football 24/7, says the guy that altered his weekend plans and blew off his girlfriend last year to watch the third Colts preseason game. Loser!
Bill is probably proud of me. You know, maybe we are friends. We have a lot more in common than he thought.
Good.
But a lot of people surrounding Bill, according to reports, are maybe concerned about his future. Robert Kraft has made it obvious multiple times he wants to be back in the playoffs. And the latest, maybe dagger to that, no DeAndre Hopkins signed. So overreaction or proper reaction, Bill Belichick won't be back as the Patriots head coach next season. He'll be fired.
I don't think the Patriots are going to be any good this year, so it'll be like an 8-win team. But I don't think Bill Belichick is going to get forced out yet, so I would go overreaction.
All right. Eric Bieniemy has tried and tried and tried to become a head coach. It has not worked so far in Kansas City. Maybe a change of scenery will help. He is now the Washington Commanders brand new offense coordinator. Overreaction or proper reaction? Next year, 2024, Eric Bieniemy will be a head coach in the NFL.
Until he becomes a head coach of the NFL, I'm just going to believe that he won't be. And it stinks because he's deserving of being a head coach. But I'll say that's an overreaction. The one caveat I will give to that is for 31 teams, I don't think it could be a case. But
with Josh Harris expecting to be coming in as the new owner. If you want to get rid of Ron Rivera, maybe you give the first opportunity to Eric Bieniemy with the Commanders. Just something I thought of. But I hate to say it, until he gets a head coaching job, I don't get how anyone right now would say yes outside of just hoping for it to be yes, just with the way that the hiring cycle has gone the last few years.
Two more questions for you. Rookie of the year. We got Bryce Young. We got C.J. Stroud. We got Bijan Robinson. We got Jaxon Smith-Njigba. We got Anthony Richardson. Maybe a defensive player if someone balls out.
Well, there's offensive and defensive rookie of the years. Two different awards.
You're right. So for this case, we'll stick with offensive rookie of the year.
Any Colts defensive players that you're going to give me to watch out for defensive rookie of the year?
No, I won't go there.
Okay. You. Was that one of the 10 questions on the Big Colts podcast?
We did not talk rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Did not talk. Okay. It was more training camp preview, what to watch during training camp.
Who was the guy? What was the name of the guy that was gambling?
Isaiah Rogers, Sr.
That's what you should name your podcast. The Isaiah Rogers Senior Podcast. Like, you know, people just do random athletes. Do the Isaiah, gambling with Isaiah Rogers. You could probably get him on this year.
I mean,
he's got some free time.
As some hosts would say, he's got plenty of time. Plenty of time to be hanging and talking Colts, that's for sure. But all right, offensive rookie of the year will go to Bijan Robinson. Is that an overreaction or a proper reaction?
My man Carl Duke said it last night. Put him up!
Yeah, I think so. They're going to hand in the ball a crap ton this year. So I'll bet on Bijan Robinson. Just got to stay healthy.
And finally, the biggest news of the week is the running back market continuing to decrease. Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, no new deal at the franchise tag deadline in order to get an extension. Both have not signed the tag, which means they could hold out. Saquon Barkley was on the record recently and said he will consider maybe sitting out this season. Overreaction or proper reaction? Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs, one of the two, will miss week one.
I don't see what the point would be if you miss games, because then you miss game checks and you don't get those back. So I would sign that tender as late as possible, the tag, and then you get there for week one. I think it's more likely Jacobs won't be there week one than Saquon, but I think that's an overreaction because I think both players will be playing week one in the NFL. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let me take Jeff in Pittsburgh right here. He wants to call about another radio program on our network, the DA Show, and I'm curious what Jeff in Pittsburgh has to say. Jeff? Jeff? So, Hickey, you told me I needed to take this phone call right before the break. What did Jeff in Pittsburgh want to talk about?
Well, Jeff wanted to announce, I guess publicly, even though I guess he already did over the radio, but announced to everyone outside of the DA Show that he has officially put his hat in the ring and applied and interviewed for Sean Marash's job as producer of the DA Show. And according to Jeff, which I'll take him at his word, he claims in his mind, unbiased, he is right now the leader in the clubhouse to fill Sean's shoes and become the next producer of the DA Show in the morning right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, Jeff would fit in for multiple reasons. One, not ready to perform on the big stage like he was just there. Two, not knowing how to make sure that a phone call gets on the air and the guy is ready to go. And three, he didn't really sound all that alert in our conversation that we just had in Jeff in Pittsburgh.
He was excited to move to New York City and become neighbors with me and you, so maybe we could get a new friend there. There you go.
He ain't living in my neck of the woods, I'll tell you that. No chance.
No? You wouldn't hang with Jeff in Pittsburgh?
I'd put an embargo. If you moving in my area, different conversation than going out having a beer with the guy.
What if he moves in your apartment?
Well, that's not happening. You mean like the unit, like the building?
Yeah, in the building, right? Right next door. You're 1A, he's 1B.
No. I would tell them no way. No way whatsoever.
Jeff in Pittsburgh is calling back. Should I answer it?
What are we going to do? Put this guy on after he wasn't ready to go?
So I'm asking.
This is not a waiting room.
Okay. He had his one chance and he missed it.
He had a one shining moment.
Hopefully.
And he airballed. He was like Carlton in the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Hopefully it does not hurt his candidacy. If I was DA, big demerit.
Well, Pete the Body Bilotti's probably freaking out over that. You call into another program, ready to go, and after waiting on hold for 5 minutes, you're nowhere to be found? What are we doing there, Jeff, in Pittsburgh? Come on. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the United States Postal Service, introducing USPS Ground Advantage, reliable and affordable 2 to 5 day package shipping, the United States Postal Service. So before I get to Draymond Green, I am curious about something, but I'm also very skeptical to be curious about this because I think it's going to be something that's probably rather lame. What were you freaking out about, Hickey? Right as we went to the break, I hear you scream through the glass. You go, yeah, 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 yeah. And then I hear you scurry out of the studio, and then you scream in the newsroom, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm bleeping talking about. Let's go. What are you so hyped up about? There's nothing going on right now.
For the first time in my life, I have won a perfect 9 for 9 on Immaculate Grid.
That's what you're doing?
It has been eating at me for weeks. I have come close a few times with 8 out of 9. I have frankly choked one time when I had some rare players out there when I had a good rarity score. Choked it away. And so now to finally go a perfect 9 for 9 today. I was on the fence about one. I'll be honest, it took me all day. I did not cheat. I don't look at any players.
Wait.
It was all top of my head.
You waited all day?
If you actually want to go
to submit this last name?
Behind the curtain. I actually started this past midnight yesterday. So like, let's say 1 a.m. yesterday.
Wow.
Well, I guess this
what
morning,
a loser.
I started it. Got like 3 or 4. Got the ball rolling when I woke up this morning. Another 3 or 4. And I was at 8 out of 9. And it was Rays A's. I was
tough
stuck
one.
For a while. I was thinking about it. And all of a sudden, a name popped in my head. I said, ooh, I don't want to, you know, I'm close. I want to make sure, or at least make sure there's no other obvious ones.
Can I guess what the name was? Because I was stumped on this one. Today.
Sure.
Was it Chad Bradford?
Is that one? I did not. That's a good one.
Don't know. I know he played for the A's. I don't know if he played for the Rays.
He is one of those guys I feel like has played on like 15 teams in like 16 years. So that's a good guess.
He did. Oh, I was stumped on that one today. Man.
I went with, no spoiler alerts here for anyone listening, so I apologize, Jose Canseco.
Okay, that's a good one. Now, I've only got the Immaculate Grid. I just recently started playing it, like the last week and a half, and I've got 2 Immaculate Grids so far. And I actually have saved them because I take screenshots and then, you know, a buddy of mine, we send them to one another when you have the Immaculate Grid. I got an Immaculate Grid on the day where it was Astros-Dodgers was Jeff Kent, Astros-Yankees was Gerrit Cole, Astros-Phillies was Hector Neris, Mets-Dodgers was Noah Syndergaard, Mets-Yankees was David Cohn, Mets-Phillies was Taijuan Walker, 200-hit season, Jackie Robinson for the Dodgers, Derek Jeter for the Yankees, and Jimmy Rollins for the Phillies. And then the other time that I got it was just a few days ago, Phillies-Yankees, Didi Gregorius, I think this was yesterday, Phillies-Mariners, Raul Ibanez, Phillies, Marlins, JT Realmuto, Yankees, Brewers, CC Sabathia. This was the one I was most proud of. Mariners, Brewers, Gene Segura, Brewers, Marlins, Christian Yelich, Silver Slugger for the Yankees, A-Rod, Seattle, Ken Griffey, and then the Marlins with Miguel Cabrera. So give me you have the photo here? Give me the team and the two teams in the square that ended up getting to your 9 that you were freaking out this much about. You haven't got one yet? Not one?
Well, for the one you just listed before with the 200 hits and Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, I'll be honest, this is on me. I had no idea Jackie Robinson had 200 hits a season.
Okay.
So, again, that was on me.
Okay.
But I never would have guessed that. But we had today Blue Jays Rays, Kevin Kiermaier. Not great percentage, 44%, but that was a guy that stood out. Blue Jays Twins, Jose Berríos. Blue Jays 100 RBI season, Jose Bautista. A's Rays, the one we just got, Jose Canseco. A's Twins, a 1%er, Rich Hill.
That's a good one, Dick Mountain.
A man who I think you can plug in for many teams now. He has an illustrious career in terms of a number of teams he's played for. A's 100 RBI season, Mark McGwire. Rays All-Star, Chris Archer. Only 2% for Chris Archer. I think that's more of a recent name people would know. 2% is pretty low for a guy who made an All-Star team pretty recently, right? Within the decade, at least, you would think. Or definitely, I should say. Twins All-Star, Joe Mauer. 100 RBI season and an all-star 3%er. Easy layup for me personally, Pete Alonso.
Okay, there we go. By the way, I'll actually give you, I won't crush you for this one. Jackie Robinson only had 200 hits in a season, one ton, 203. I thought that was a lock when I put that in. And that was obviously with the Brooklyn Dodgers, but that was one that I threw out there. And I was wondering if they were going to take that just because, like, you look at it now and it's like, all right, it's the LA Dodgers and you know the whole move and everything. But I was just like wondering, how does that actually work in terms of the algorithm there? But then you realize that, oh, Baseball Reference takes it over. So they're going to find a way to get everything done and everything accurate there. Did you know that Baseball Reference took over for what's the name of the thing?
Immaculate Grid. Yes, because I started playing. I mean, I still haven't played within the month, but even before, like, they took over very recently, so I noticed a difference. Yeah. Like, one day you see the difference, boom, it's
well,
cause not
there, and
then it was
there. Well, because that's the Baseball Reference page of all the mutual teams. Have you done this yet, the Immaculate Grid? Well, you're now a father of three, so I don't know if you have time.
No. I've been the last, like, week or so. Yeah, I'm all over it.
Yeah, I got into it the last week and a half, so I don't know if you heard this in the newsroom. I don't think you can miss it, but you have other jobs when you're working here than just CBS Sports Radio. Hickey's running around like a madman. I thought he was freaking out over, like, an irrelevant baseball game for a team that he's still believing in that absolutely stinks, but it was because he finally got the Immaculate Grid correctly.
He came flying into my booth to tell me. I was proud of him.
You're like a proud pop here.
Well, because he let me know when I got here that he had one left, and I said, how long have you been working on this thing? Because you're really not, I didn't think he was supposed to, you know, spend the whole day on it. But he needed his first one. He needed a win. We all been there. I get it.
But that's, like, the thing. If you're just looking for the opportunity to complete this, like, I'll wake up, you know, make sure that everything's all right with me and that I'm conscious and everything's good and I got my wits together and I'm not going crazy, and then I'll go do this Immaculate Grid right now. Mm-hmm. But if I don't get the thing within, like, 5 or 10 minutes, I'm out. I'm not sitting there and waiting around playing this game all day.
I think the longest I went, because sometimes I'll do it, you know, I'm here through the night. So, you know, we pass midnight to the next day.
Oh, it comes out right at midnight?
So I'm here. So a lot of times I'll do that sometimes in around the 3 a.m. hour where I get a little bit of time. So I'll give it maybe 10, 15 minutes in between doing other things. After that, I feel like you're almost cheating. Because if you wait the full day, your mind, of course, is going to go to 100 different things. But Just think about any game show you're on. You can't be there all day. At some point, you got to have some sort of time limit.
I think I have to have a better start time. Now, I don't like that you just told me that it releases at midnight, because now I think I'll ruin the fun and I'll do it right at midnight. But when I wake up at 9:30 a.m., I don't think I'm all there yet in the day, and I don't think that's my best thinking power.
That's a smart thing. I will say this. One of my days off, I did it at about 3 o'clock after a feeding. Not a smart idea, because the first one, I clicked the wrong button, and that annoyed me, because I was like, oh, man, no, I meant to, oh. And then I just kind of just, you know, you started going into the memory bank of, sure, let's see if Pud Galvin did this. Like, you know, like, you know, the Kid Nichols, you know what I mean? Because I just messed up the whole grid, because I just, once you get the first one wrong, what's the difference?
It's weird to say that you have a lot of anxiety and nerves, but when you think you have one, and then you start to get in the game, oh, you want to play the low percentages, and you go, all right, I know I have a lock, but then let me get greedy, and I have a low percentage one, and you just have to wait that half second until you find out if it was right or wrong. Very nerve-wracking.
And think about it. You win nothing, and we all do it.
It's like Wordle.
And I've done it. I checked, because I thought Baseball Reference was wrong, and I was like, oh, no, hey, how about that? Yeah. I really thought Paul Ostermacher pitched for them. We've all done that where you really think you're right, and then obviously you turn out to be wrong.
And the other part about it, too, is, so my family, they're big Wordle people. Mm-hmm. And I just have not done Wordle yet. Mm-hmm. I've never tried it. This is our Wordle. This is the sports fan Wordle, where each and every day this is what you're going to do.
I actually do both. I got into Wordle to try to get my mind to actually function, because the more you do that stuff, the more it clicks. And
three kids don't do that for you?
There's a lot of times where I feel like my brain is oatmeal, so I feel like sometimes that'll get the this is different. This is different than Wordle. This is more nerdy and stupid, but for the sports fan, it's awesome. Now, the only thing is you get a little lost. Now, again, it's only been like a week or so that I've been doing this, but it does bring you together with goofy, nerdy people like yourself, because my brother and I have been texting every day.
Oh, really?
That's about nice. This and being able to, you know, so he shows me the picture. I get like the screenshot. What do you want? Did you finish yet? Like, you know, that kind of stuff. And we're going into almost jokingly going into the memory bank of when we were kids with a lot of guys that, I mean, who thought, like, I didn't, you don't remember these people existed. So it helps bring some of that stuff back.
Now, I will say, though, I've never felt compelled to post that I got an immaculate grid. I talk with my friends, but for example, like Hickey, you knew that was really genuine. You knew that he wasn't going to lie and look things up because of how excited he was. I thought something dramatically happened in his life, that he just got offered a job somewhere or something big happened. He found out that, I don't know, something with his girlfriend, or his girlfriend got a promotion. He was more happy than a fat kid in a candy store.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that was genuine, that Hickey didn't cheat. I know you're not cheating when you're just texting your brother about it. I know I'm not cheating. But when people post these immaculate grids on Twitter and the highest percentage is 5%, I go, are you just posting this to try to get whatever stupid clout there is out there? And you're just saying, oh, look at my immaculate grid, but you were looking it up the entire way.
Yeah, you're not going to see me post this stuff, but that's also against my personality. It's just that it's not really something I do. But I do feel like the more you show everyone what you're doing, there's a good chance that you're doing this because you need some sort of satisfaction. You need some sort of praise that you think is coming that, let's be fair. And I've always kind of had this motto, like, do whatever you want to do, but shut up about it. Nobody cares. And that's basically comes with this. Nobody cares, okay?
Leave
it to yourself.
He is El Capitan, Marco Belletti. We'll come on back with the closing bell. You will hear from Draymond Green in the closing bell. And I'll tell you right now, he's getting a stock down.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think around the auto parts for all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Alrighty, let's start things off with the Open Championship that is going to tee off early Thursday morning. You have Matt Fitzpatrick participating. Of course, I know that name very well because in 2022, he won his first ever major championship at the U.S. Open. And I was betting on him thanks to a little commentary on this show by one Steve Sands. Sands, he said, Matt Fitzpatrick could be a good long shot. I said, let's bet it. And he was right. He'll tee off at 4:03 a.m. Eastern time. His brother is going to be participating in the major tournament as well, the final major of the year, the Open Championship, Alex Fitzpatrick. So the first time they're going to share that stage, pretty cool at a major championship. We all know Matt Fitzpatrick. We'll get to know Alex Fitzpatrick a little bit because there's definitely going to be a TV piece about that. We'll give both of them a stock up. Last night, that game, Hickey, I don't know if you would agree with this, but maybe it's in the moment. But that game between the Diamondbacks and the Braves last night, maybe the best baseball game of the year.
Back and forth, like literally back and forth. What was the final score? 12-11?
It was crazy. I think it was even higher than that.
13-12. It was D-backs up early. Then the Braves come storming back and the D-backs again. It was, I mean, I would agree in terms of exciting offense.
16-13 last night.
I sold them way short. I would agree. Best game of the year so far.
Yeah, Iglesias, though, got beat up a little bit, which is not good for my fantasy team. But I'm okay with the Braves losing, even though it doesn't mean anything at this point, because they're just ridiculous. And I did see that our guy Christian Walker had a big home run, friend of show. And the Diamondbacks are now three outs away from taking another one up against the Atlanta Braves. They're up 5-3 right now. So give a stock up to the Arizona Diamondbacks. We all love cake, right? Who doesn't love cake? Especially in the summer, you love cake even more. And it's not just because my birthday's in the summer on August 9th, but you sit by a pool, you want to eat some cake. Well, today, SEC Media Days, it was Alabama's day. And Nick Saban, let's first start off with him using a cake analogy when discussing the QB competition.
Grandma Saban used to bake the best cakes in the world. And I used to stand by the oven when I was a kid and say, when's this cake going to be done? When's this cake going to be done? And she said, if I don't let it go through and take it out of the oven too soon, it's going to turn to mush, so it won't be a really good cake. So I think we got to let this sort of develop and make sure we let the cake bake until somebody separates themselves.
It's kind of a good analogy right there. But is he saying right now all of his quarterbacks are mush when you're saying that?
What do you think Grandma Saban is saying as he's standing there by the oven asking if the cake's done all the time? I don't think she's saying, oh, Nick, it's got to take its time. It's going to be mushy.
Go to your room.
Right. I could see the Saban family just really laying down the hammer.
Shut up,
Nick. Get out of my face.
Well, that cut was fine. I was fine with that. But then a reporter, I guess you could say, was getting a little cheeky. And then ask Nick Saban what his favorite cake is.
Favorite cake. Want to know your favorite cake since you mentioned that in your opening statement?
Yeah, well, carrot cake. That's easy.
It's not easy. I like carrot cake. I had a delicious carrot cake cupcake when we went to, what was the place? Joe Stacks?
Jack Stacks.
Jack Stacks. Joe's was the other Kansas City place. Joe's was the other barbecue place in Kansas City. Jack Stacks, yeah. Which was unbelievable. I love Jack Stacks. That was my favorite barbecue when we were out there. So even though I love the carrot cake cupcake and I like carrot cake to begin with, it's not my favorite cake. It's not a top three cake for me. I don't even know if it's a top five cake for me, if I'm being serious. So Saban, phenomenal football coach. I'm not going to be like Paul Feinbaum and just obliterate his potential legacy based off what's going to happen this year. But to say carrot cake is your favorite cake, that may be what does it for me to say that Saban could be past his prime, Higgy. There could be the bold take on CBS Sports Radio. Heads are exploding right now as I speak in Alabama.
Do you like his Little Debbie choice of breakfast in the morning?
What is that?
There's two Little Debbie, what is it? I forget the exact, little like tasty cakes almost.
Oh, tasty cakes, yeah.
But like, yeah, I think that's chocolate, but he has two of them every morning for breakfast.
Really?
That's his breakfast.
Oh, he's a football coach. I got to imagine you're not eating the healthiest.
Skinny, 71. I mean, that's...
He's in good shape.
On the Little Debbie's.
He looks good, but yeah, I can't imagine football coaches eating all that healthy. You're probably slamming Monster Energy drinks and a bunch of donuts and slices of pizza as well. I like a tasty cake more so, though, a late night snack.
Do you know how old Nick Saban is, by the way? Speaking of like being in shape and, or I guess eating bad and
yeah, he turned 72 on October 31st.
Looks great.
Yeah, he looks phenomenal.
Him does Pete not Carroll, look like his age.
Him and Pete Carroll look phenomenal for how old they are. We've talked about that before.
And the job they have where it's high stress.
Yeah.
A lot of coaches look like
you're winning
crap
all that time.
Well, that's true.
I know he still screams like a maniac, but come on. Coach, study up on your cakes. Stock down, Nick Saban. Let's listen to Draymond Green. He continues to just sound like an absolute just idiot here when talking about the Jordan Poole situation. And you know what? All those 49ers fans that yelled at me last week for bringing up things in the past and how you can't bring up things in the past, you have that same energy for Draymond Green? Because I'm sure a lot of 49ers fans root for the Warriors. Why are you talking about the past here? Especially when Draymond Green acted like an absolute clown this season. He punched a teammate in the face. The Warriors are afraid to punish him. And they rewarded him with a new contract. I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze anymore. I would have prioritized Jordan Poole over Draymond Green. Draymond, thanks for what you did in the past. It was wonderful. It was dynastic. You are a legendary Warriors player. But moving into the future, I would have kept Jordan Poole, but they didn't do that. Poole's off to the Wizards. Draymond gets a new contract. Draymond says he didn't swing at Jordan Poole for no reason. This is courtesy of the Pat Bev podcast on Barstool.
I don't just hit people. Dialogue, of course, happens over time. And you usually ain't just triggered by something like that fast, you know,
right,
to that degree. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a team. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody on my team triggering me, you know, in an instant. You know, we know stuff that you don't say amongst men. You know what I'm saying? We know things that you have to stand on.
So what are those things that you have to stand on, Draymond? What did Jordan Poole say to you that justifies you punching him in the face and ruining the Warriors season last year? There's just no accountability with Draymond Green. And the Warriors enable it. They allow him to do what he does, and that's why this happens. But you listen to that, Hickey. He thinks he's in the right. And that's the crazy part to me. Now, no one knows besides Draymond and Jordan Poole what happened behind closed doors. But if Jordan Poole really did something that was that egregious, wouldn't it have leaked out by now? Wouldn't it have leaked out by now?
What I will say, I'm not defending Draymond, but I will say, it's not exactly like anyone came to the defense of Jordan Poole.
No, but some people have talked positively about Jordan Poole, but they're all afraid of Draymond to begin with. And this organization thinks he's still the player that he once was that could win another championship, so they walk around on eggshells around him. But why this guy's still talking about it, you know, shut up. Stop. Move on. You won.
the player's no longer there and you got a new deal. It's like enough is enough already. It's embarrassing. Stock down to Draymond Green. And if you're on Twitter or Instagram today bitching about Madden ratings and you're not an NFL player, like who cares about what people are ranked in Madden? So stock down to anyone actually bitching about that. Good show today. Big thanks to Big Al for joining us. And also Mike Johnson. We'll be back tomorrow. Final show of the week for us. Hickey's off on Friday. I'm off on Friday. So we'll talk to you on Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We out. Bye-bye.